The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Later on in the show, the newest addition to the FC team will be here. World Cup winner and Juventus legend Alessandro Del Piero will be reflecting on Juve's game against Lazio. But we kick things off with a big match in Germany, which of course saw Bayern Munich beat Borussia Dortmund by 4-2. Dortmund would take a 2-0 lead early on, Haaland with a brace, but then Lewandowski leading the way with a hat-trick would see the defending champions come from behind to take all 3 points, and it's a win that puts them back to the top of the table. Leipzig winning earlier on in the day. However, Bayern Munich remain 2 points clear at the top of the Bundesliga. Well, let's welcome in, shall we, Jan-Arge Fjortoff and Jürgen Klinsmann to reflect on this game. Jürgen, overall, what a great match.
Oh, fantastic match, Dan. Absolutely fantastic match. I mean, we all hope for many goals. And it was 6 goals. It started really well off for Borussia Dortmund with the early lead. 2 goals by Erling Haaland. They were on fire the first 20 minutes. And it looked like a little bit like Bayern Munich was still asleep the first 15 minutes. But then, obviously, maybe that's what they need right now. They always need a wake-up call. And they woke up. I mean, after 20, 25 minutes, they got better in the game. They started to create some chances. They came back. They scored the 2-1. Obviously, Lewandowski, who else did that? And then there came a crucial moment. It came the penalty kick, an unnecessary foul, you know, through VAR. It got confirmed, but it made it 2-2 right before halftime. Really, really difficult moment for Dortmund. And then in the second half, probably the key moment was when Erling Haaland was subbed out at 60 minutes with an injury, light, a small injury. But it kind of gave the game pretty much to Bayern Munich, and they really were in control from that moment on. They just grinded and until they finally made the third goal through Goretzka. And then who else finished it off? Like Lewandowski again. Exciting game. It was definitely an exciting game, a great classico. I think really they deserved those 3 points, Bayern Munich.
And a game we've seen played out so many times this season from Bayern, Jan. Let the opponents have a couple of goal lead and then come back and take all 3 points.
I think all neutrals, they want Dortmund to win because we need some excitement. You see RB Leipzig winning in Freiburg at the top of the league. But the thing is with Bayern, their self-confidence, their passion, their patience for the game, and not to underestimate all the good players in there. And, I mean, Jürgen was into it. What about Lewandowski? I mean, now he's 31 goals. He's wow. 9 games after an unbeatable record of Gerd Müller for goals in a season, and he makes a hat-trick. And I just got a feeling today, would you have Erling Haaland scoring too? It was like, Annie, get your gun. Anything you can do, I can do better. Because you always score goals, this man.
Jürgen, when Müller got 40 goals, we thought, that's it. This is never, ever going to be surpassed. But genuinely now, Lewandowski has the opportunity to do that, which is such an extraordinary achievement.
Oh, it would be unbelievable if he could do that. And I think he's on a good path to break that record. You know, obviously, Gerd Müller is an absolute legend in German football. World Cup winner 74, and he won everything with Bayern Munich and you can win. He basically built the foundation for this club that is now in the top three in the world. But Lewandowski, I think really he has that chance. I think all his teammates will play for it. They will pass him the ball wherever they can. They will feed him with balls. And if you give him 2 or 3 occasions per game, he will score. Every second opportunity he has, he will score. And I mean, today it was another demonstration of his strength, of his class. He's just an outstanding centre forward.
Jan, aside from the obvious answer, which is, well, he scored goals, what makes him so good?
Well, I can only compare it with one of the best strikers I've ever seen, and maybe the best number nine I've ever, I think, seen is Marco van Basten. I mean, his balance, his hunger, his passion for the game, his way. Remember that goal, the first goal he scored, he was down and took the ball from his own half. He was down and started the attack. And who else were there when Sané made his trick on Schultz? I mean, we can talk a lot about defending, but I just like to see goals. And of course, Lewandowski was on the end there and getting the goal. And he scores with his right foot, he scores with his left foot. And he's so well balanced. He's so good trained. He's one of the fittest players in the whole international football. So, I mean, you can't see any weaknesses of him. The only weaknesses must be that he's playing for Poland and he can never win the World Cup. And that is the big difference between him and Gerd Müller and Jürgen Klinsmann.
Jürgen, do you think he gets enough credit, Lewandowski, around the world for what he does?
I think so. Over the last couple of years, really everybody realized how special he is, how good he is, you know, how consistent he is. You know, if it's in the Bundesliga, if it's in the Champions League, obviously Bayern Munich now won 6 titles in a row. It's unthinkable. And he deserved the credit. I mean, there was a lot of discussion about the Ballon d'Or, the, you know, being European Footballer of the Year. It's about time he got it. I mean, I think he gets the recognition, but he is still hungry. He wants more. And as Jan said, rightfully so, you wish him even that special recognition with his national team, with Poland as well. And maybe there comes some more recognition this summer in the European Championship, because Poland right now has a very good team.
Meanwhile, as you mentioned, Jan, your boy Haaland getting 2 goals. Again, just epitomising his qualities as a striker as being in the right place at the right time.
Well, some will say, yeah, well, in some difficult situation, they said, well, your grandma would have scored her because he's always in that position. But your grandma will never be there. And he's always there. And you saw that second goal. And if you see that whole attack, he's just waiting for to go into that space. And Boateng nodding his head around, where is he? And the big difference between him and Lewandowski at the moment, I mean, he got 12 years of experience, of course. But it's also the players he plays with. Because today, remember, there was a key moment. At 2-0, Meunier should have played him an easy 10-meter pass, and he couldn't find him. That is a big difference. It could be 3-0. Probably Bayern would have won 5-3. But anyway, Erling Haaland again had a good game. Dortmund wanted to play a bit more directly today, but as Jürgen rightly said, after he was taken off after 60 minutes, they didn't have anything because they were so deep. So the only way they could do anything was to play that ball above the high standing Bayern back four. But after Erling went out, they didn't have anything. And then of all people, Goretzka is there. Even he is a great volley shooter at Bayern. So it's a deserved win for Bayern. They were the better team on the day.
And again, in this clash, Haaland on the wrong end of the result. And Jürgen, you've talked about it before when you were at Spurs. You realised that you had to leave if you were going to win trophies. When is Haaland going to get to that stage?
Yeah, I think that's a discussion that a lot of football fans have right now. You know, that like Borussia Dortmund, obviously they admire Erling Haaland. And they are at a moment right now where they have to kind of really get results badly. You know, they need to come into find a way to get in the top four to qualify for the Champions League next year. Obviously, they're not in the title race anymore. They're still in the German Cup. That could be a title. But a player like Haaland wants trophies badly. You know, so it will be interesting how this thing plays out. I mean, when you score as a young kid at 20 years of age, you score 2 goals in the first 10 minutes at Bayern Munich, then you can be sure that these people from Bayern Munich sitting up in the stand, they make a couple of notes. And I said, okay, maybe one day, you know, Lewandowski, you know, is on his way, I mean, basically, to retire. We better have somebody else younger stepping in. Erling Haaland has all the possibilities. You know, he has all the talent in the world if he stays healthy, if he stays consistent, but he is really special.
Obviously, results kind of going their way today. Eintracht Frankfurt, the only team around them picking up a point, Jan, in this chase for a Champions League spot. If they don't qualify for the Champions League, he's got to go, doesn't he?
Well, I think the plan of Borussia Dortmund is that they have to let one of the big guys go because they need the money. They've lost a lot of money on the COVID, as a lot of other clubs have done, as we've seen later with the results coming in from the reports of the different clubs. I think that they will let Sancho go, but if they're not under the top four, there are some things that will happen. It will start rolling. It will be speculation all over. And then we'll see which club can come up with that money. There have been talking about the clause. The clause will then be next summer. I think that the clause is much higher than the journalists have reported. But still, there will be money to get him. I think that
how much,
if I would...
Just guessing, Jan, how much would that clause be, this buyout clause, obviously?
Well, people are talking about 75 now, but as they say, I do understand that clause is higher.
Right.
But it doesn't matter, because if Erling Haaland is going to be sold this summer, that will be a record fee anyway.
Sure.
But I think that the thing is that if they're not under top four and Erling Haaland is in every interview, he's saying, I love Champions League, I love Champions League. So, of course, there will be some rolling there. But I think that if I was to tip today, if they're under top four, if they get into the final, maybe get a title, I think that Erling Haaland could stay at Dortmund for one more year. He still wants to play a whole season without 81,000 people. He can play at the yellow wall and not forget, and we should not forget this, he's 20. He has only 16 years left on top level. So he's not like he's not having he has time.
Or more, if you look at Zlatan. Meanwhile, when it comes to the title race, Jürgen, obviously Leipzig kept up their end of the deal, didn't they, with the win to keep it alive. But seeing Bayern and the way in which they are machine-like is how we've certainly described them over the past few months. It's difficult, really, isn't there, to put an up argument as to why Leipzig are going to win this?
Well, it's exciting that they are where they are. I mean, We talked throughout the entire season, and now we have 10 games to go still. We hope that Leipzig can keep up the pace with Bayern Munich and give them a real fight. And that's what they're doing. They really give them a fight. And this is admirable. And they play also international football as well. So they're getting used to the highest level of football throughout Europe. So this is a good thing for the German Bundesliga, because it keeps on going then after the season as well. I think at the end of the day, Bayern Munich still has another gear in it, in its team, in its spirit, in its desire to finish off first. And that's why, even if we hopefully see a very, very close title race the next couple of weeks, that's going to be exciting. I still think at the end of the day, Bayern Munich will make sure that they hold up, you know, the trophy again.
April 3rd, Leipzig-Bayern Munich, Jan.
Pardon, say it again.
April 3rd. Leipzig against Bayern Munich.
Yeah, and we just hope that, because we've seen now the last years, there's never been a competition. At least now there is some competition in there. The most impressive thing with Bayern is that, and players of that caliber, and we'll go at least one with Jürgen in the studio, is that they have that extra gear. And I think that is just fascinating to look at, because they're 2-0 behind. And as Jürgen said, that is his first answer. You just feel that's what they needed. And they need Champions League to take that gear in there. So they just do what they can do. Having said that, Nagelsmann and RB Leipzig are doing enough to pressure them. So they're always around there. And hopefully we can go into this April game, and there is a big chance that if RB Leipzig beat them, that would be great for... not only for the excitement in the German Bundesliga, it's also good for the brand of the Bundesliga, because, I mean, it started to get into a bit funny when Bayern winning as much as they do in Scotland, Rangers and Celtic just changing who winning nine titles in a row and so on.
Gentlemen, as always, thank you very much for a lot more reaction to what happened in the Clásica. Be sure to go over to our YouTube page and subscribe to ESPN FC. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast.
And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. As promised, then, we welcome the latest addition to the ESPN FC team. Juventus legend and World Cup winner Alessandro Del Piero is with us. Ali, welcome to the Madhouse.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Of course, a good day for you to join us as well. Huge win for Juventus. They found themselves 1-0 down in that big clash against Lazio today. However, cracking goal from Rabiot and then two goals in the second half from Morata would see Juventus take the victory, meaning that 7 points still remain between them and Inter at the top of the table. Inter with that big game against Atalanta on Monday. Ali, it goes without saying, this is a huge win for Juventus.
It's a very huge win there. I mean, they were down 1-0 and against Lazio, that is the team that has beaten Juventus the most in the Serie A history. So it's very, so for them is a great win. Most of the team was out of the pitch because recovering or other things. So it's really something that is important to stay on top on the stand.
Are they still very much in the title challenge, do you think, up against Inter?
I mean, they are in the position now in the season that they lack the most. They prefer having more points in the Italian league, but you know, they will play on Wednesday, on Tuesday, the big game on the Champions League, what they want. They are in the final of the Italian Cup, like they want, and they can, you know, go till the end for the race for the title in Italy. So it's quite okay.
You mentioned, of course, that big game against Porto. A lot of people surprised maybe Cristiano Ronaldo didn't come on till late in this game, clearly being rested ahead of that game. What did you make of that decision by Pirlo?
I think it's a very smart decision. I mean, what happened on Tuesday here is a key for Juventus, especially after what happened last year, that they went out by Lyon in the same round of 16. So resting for him, for Arthur, recovering from Bonucci. I mean, it's a perfect time for them. Even Morata doesn't have a 90 minutes of his leg in terms of conditioning because he's coming back again from injury. So it's good for them winning this game and put them the last 30 minutes, you know, to keep going, to keep moving, but not with all the fatigue of an entire game.
You mentioned Morata. Are you surprised how key he is to success for Juventus? Of course, being out for injury, they struggled, he comes back, and then they get back to winning ways.
I mean, Morata played amazing this year with Juve. For him, it's a comeback. So he knows the ambience, he knows the stadium, he knows the teammates, the city. So he's pretty confident on that. And especially, he had the opportunity to grow a lot through his experience around Europe. So for him, he's definitely a key player for Juve because he's the only one that can attack the space and try to spread out midfielders and defense of the other team. And that gives you also a lot of space for Ronaldo and all the other players to go and play in that position that is a key position for everybody now.
You mentioned that game against Porto. How much of a disaster is it if they don't get through, if they get knocked out by Porto in the Champions League this week?
Quite big, because last year happened that they went out through Lyon by round of 16 and was already a disaster. It's, of course, a disaster economics for the team because, you know, going further for the Champions League is something that every club needs, clubs that invest a lot like them, and especially, you know, in the heart. It's already a very tough cup for every Juventus fan. And, you know, and they build this team with Ronaldo mainly for one target, winning the Champions League. So not to even reach the quarterfinal or the semifinal for them, it would be an insuccess.
We keep being told that this is a season of transition from Juventus, looking to move away from the old style of football, and Pirlo, of course, spearheading this new style.
There seems to be a lot of people that are saying, be patient, you know, this is going to happen, and others are getting frustrated because Juventus are a team that we know are born to win trophies. So how patient do you think fans should be with this transition?
First of all, there's no transition year for Juventus at all. Every year you need to win, you must to win. And by the way, Juve won last month the Super Cup. So it's already a trophy on the stand of the club. But the trophy that they want, the fans want, is the Champions League. So now after 9 straight consecutive Cup League winning, it's kind of, you know, oh, another Italian Cup, another Italian League winning. Boring. Kind of that, right? So the Champions League is the most important target for everyone, including fans. They are passions, yes, because they know Pirlo is a new adventure. So it needs time to adjust what's going on. And it's a change of the last minute during the preseason, so it's not easy putting a new guy with no experience like him, but super smart to in this situation. But they are patient till now, but they're waiting on Tuesday.
Well, exactly. And, of course, the issue is that even if you get past Porto, you would say Juventus are still very much low down the order when you look at the teams that will be remaining. For example, Manchester City and Bayern Munich, no matter how much Juventus dream of winning the Champions League with Ronaldo, there is a big gap to close, isn't it, between them and that Munich and Manchester City side?
There is a gap for what happened till now in the Italian League and in the Champions League. The Juve play amazing one game in the Champions League against Barcelona in Barcelona when they won 3-0. So when they need to win, they won. If they keep going like this, it will be perfect. Even if you didn't have an amazing games before, you know, you didn't show up skills or plays during the year that, you know, make you believe that you are the best, but they're really focused on winning games. So this is something that is missing in the Italian League, but in the Champions League they have the possibility to recover the 2-1. So let's see. Tuesday is really a key game for Juventus season, not only for the Champions League season.
Is this squad good enough to win the whole Champions League this season?
That is a very good question. It's tough to answer because for what is showing the Champions League, the answer is, it's good, but they still have a lot of problems. How much they can solve those problems and how fast they can solve their problem is the real answer, because they are missing all the defense now. They didn't find the right chemistry on the midfielders, but they are amazing potential, you know. And with that guy in the front, you know, can score every game, 1 or 2 goals, everything is possible.
Is Pirlo the right man for the job going forward?
Oh, this is... Pirlo is an amazing guy. He's super smart, and he embraced the project, you know, super fast. But yes, definitely no experience. So it's a kind of bad for Juventus, you know. But the structure of the club, the structure of the team with the key man inside the team as the players is very strong. So they help him till now, and they keep going together. So they become, you know, a full team. And this is really good, you know, when you have to reach some kind of level that you need everything that you have inside to perform well.
Alessandro Del Piero, thank you very much. Before I let you go, just turn around your camera and show me what you were showing me before of all the lights and all the people and everyone there trying to make this work.
Yeah, listen, it's 2 hours that they're trying to make it work and... I'll show you.
I'm
happy to do it.
Everyone
we have
see.
Lights everywhere.
Okay, look at this.
You know, 1, 2.
Everyone trying to
we
make you look beautiful.
We have 4 people working, big lights, cameras that was ready and connect. I don't know if you see it.
Yep.
You know, with the guys, you know,
that
all
work.
The cables.
Yep.
You know, and nothing worked. At the end of the day, you know, all the way through a phone, and we make it work.
In the home,
we but next time, we will start the day before.
Yes,
so
exactly.
We'll be ready for tonight.
Exactly. FaceTime worked in the end. Ali, thank you so much for your time. We're looking forward to working with you throughout the rest of the year. Just a reminder, you can download our daily podcast, which is available over on the website.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Burnley 1, Arsenal 1. Well, let's welcome in Stevie Nicholls, shall we, to discuss that game. Stevie, I've seen a lot of people describing this as a kind of microcosm of Arsenal's season in a match.
Yeah, pretty much. They had it under total control, and then a calamitous pass from Xhaka goes in off Woods. And then in the second half, they created plenty of chances and couldn't take any. I mean, pretty much Pepe's attempt at a shot from, 8 yards out in the middle of the box that ended up going for a throw-in kind of sums up their game today. I mean, seriously. Vard, as you said, completely got it wrong. Should have been a penalty. Wasn't given. So this really is down to Arsenal yet again. You know, it's either poor defending or just lack of ability in front of goal to put the ball in the back of the net. And we've seen it yet again. So I thought Arteta summed it up pretty well, to be honest. He knows they were the better side. But they just didn't capitalise on the chances they created. And there's nothing else they can do. They can only create chances. And certainly the way he's got them playing, they're doing that. But Arteta can't finish it for them.
So is that the key to it then, Stevie? Just the lack of quality in the final third?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, listen, Burnley were just on the field today. They created one chance that Woods got on target that was well saved by Leno. Other than that, they were just partaking in this game. It was all about Arsenal and they just couldn't get the ball in the back of the net. So much so that Ceballos, right with the last kick of the match, guess what? Hit the post.
Yeah.
That summed it up as well.
Meanwhile, Leicester in action in the late game. They, of course, have been struggling of late, but they managed to come from behind to beat Brighton by 2-1. If you're a Leicester fan, how heartened will you be by this result?
Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you, at half-time, I had everything all set up for this at half-time when I were 1-0 down, because I'm thinking, this team doesn't look like they're going anywhere. The next three of their next four games are really tough. They've got Sheffield United next, and then they've got Man United, Man City and West Ham. And I'm sitting at half-time with a one down thinking, my goodness, this could be a turning point. But you know what? Things went for them the second half. They got an equaliser and then a horrendous mistake with Sanchez and the Brighton goal, and they get three huge points, as I said, considering the games they've got coming up. So if you're a Leicester fan, you're delighted. Vardy's out of form, there's no Maddison, no Barnes, and they're getting by. But listen, they're getting by. They're actually sitting second on the table after this win, so this was a huge win for them.
Well, let's just take a look at the table. As you mentioned, Stevie, that win for Leicester puts the gap between them and that chasing pack trying to close down for a place in the top four. Gives them some breathing room. They move up to second, 2 points clear of United, who are in action against Manchester City on Sunday. Stevie, overall, Leicester, let's do the maths. What's it? Seven points ahead of Everton in fifth. Everton, though, with two games in hand. How safe are Leicester in that top four spot?
I think if they get 3 points against Sheffield United, they will be. Listen, nobody's got them. I don't have them as favourites against Man United and Man City. West Ham, obviously, will be tight, but they must get three against Sheffield United. And I think that should be enough of a cushion. I think they will get Maddison back shortly, which will help. And Jamie Vardy just needs a couple more games to get himself back to 100%. So Sheffield United, 3 points is huge. That should give them a good cushion for the top four.
Stevie, thank you very much. Stevie, back on Extra Time, by the way, with Ali Moreno. You can check out all the Extra Times, of course, as always, which are available over on our YouTube channel.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Barca then taking all 3 points. A big win, of course, looking ahead to the match tomorrow between Atletico Madrid and Real Madrid. If that ends in a draw, there's very much a title race on. Just to confirm then, Atleti, 2 points clear of Barca. Barca move up to second, 3 clear of Real Madrid. That match tomorrow, El Derby, is huge regarding a title race, which is very much on. Let's welcome to the show then Ali Moreno. Ali, this was good, obviously, for Barcelona, getting the win, but you sometimes felt like after all the ecstasy and the excitement after that late win against Sevilla, that maybe this could be a bump back to earth, but it wasn't.
Some ways it was, Dan, because to be quite honest with you, between the two great goals that Barcelona scored today against Osasuna, there was a lot of, shall I say, inaccurate game passing movement from Barcelona, defensively having some issues, Ter Stegen having to come up with save, Osasuna missing opportunities, in particular Caleri with a point-blank header in the second half. So there were chances for Osasuna. There were saves by Ter Stegen. The passing game wasn't quite there for Barcelona. They were inaccurate in the attacking half. Messi wasn't quite himself. It was a tired performance as well from Barcelona, not only physically, but I think also mentally. It was always going to be difficult to sort of go in that high after beating Sevilla, then having to come back down to earth, and then having to start the engines back up and expect something outstanding from this team. I think the important part for Barcelona is that they get the 3 points. They put some pressure on both Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid. They stay very much in the race, and they close out what was potentially a very difficult week with 3 very good results. Beating Sevilla in the league, beating Sevilla in qualifying in Copa del Rey, and now beating Osasuna, and now heading into yet another important week, because let's not forget, it's presidential elections in Barcelona this weekend, and then you also have what's coming up in Champions League. That is an unlikely scenario for Barcelona that they would advance, but at the very least, they've given themselves momentum going into that game.
I'm not sure if you, did you even mention Griezmann back in the starting 11, Ali?
Well, I can mention him. You've done a good job of it, but I will mention him and I will tell you this. Griezmann. So Ronald Koeman doesn't change the formation. He is essentially puts out a similar starting 11, other than Piqué having been injured towards late in the game against Sevilla. And then he puts in Griezmann instead of Dembele. Well, the option of having Dembele on the field gives you that vertical movement, that threat in behind. What you found from Griezmann was that instead of getting in behind, even though that's really the job that he was there to do, he's coming and showing for the ball, short, and going into the outside, and going underneath. And so there was never really that threat in behind that Dembele gives you, or whatever player that you play in that position that has a little bit of pace. Griezmann just kind of does all these other things around the field that may be useful, but not to what Ronald Koeman has him on the field to do with this particular formation. So much so that then Dembele comes in at halftime, Koeman changes the formation, goes back to a 4-3-3, and again, Griezmann is floating around, having no impact on the game. Eventually, he comes off the field, and it's yet another one of those performances that you say, it's not terrible, but really not impactful, really not having any sort of importance to the match. He just kind of goes, runs around, and then comes back, sits back on the bench.
Do they want a draw tomorrow, Ali?
I think they are rooting hard for Real Madrid, even though they're not going to come out and say that publicly. But I think that what they would want is for Atletico Madrid to lose all 3 points. However, worst case scenario, a draw actually works very well for Barcelona as well, because I think it really takes Real Madrid away from potentially the title race, and it brings Atletico Madrid closer to them. But I don't think that they would be really upset if Real Madrid goes out and actually beats Atletico Madrid and puts doubt in Atletico Madrid's mind before they play the game in hand against Athletic Bilbao. Never an easy game, even more so, or even more difficult when you've come from perhaps potentially having lost to your in-city rival.
What a game it's going to be. Are you back with us tomorrow, Ali?
Yes, I am. You know it
Good
and you
stuff.
Love it.
Nice one. We'll be looking back to that huge game regarding the title race in La Liga. Be sure to join us on the next edition of the show. That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Extra Time is next. Stevie and Ali answering your tweets and showing us some porcelain models. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Here I am once again with all my mates. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Stevie and Ali, though, join me. Oh, shut up. Don't start. We're a little delayed today because my new best friend, Del Piero, had some issues technically. But fear not. It's all going now. You would have not liked how nice I was to him.
Nice to meet you. I'm Daniel. I'll take care of you.
Say whatever you want. It's fine. It's fine. Right, Ali, is it undisputed that Lewandowski is clear for the Ballon d'Or or Messi close by?
Well, first of all, I cannot believe that with technical difficulties, Stevie would be ahead of the class. That indeed, Alessandro Del Piero is struggling with that, and Stevie and I are right here waiting for you.
I'm
just suggesting that that's a minor upset. I'm just going to say that's a minor upset there. As for Lewandowski, there'll be no upset there. He will win the Ballon d'Or. He should be the winner, and I think in a runaway manner.
What about the European Championships, Ali? That could play a part. We've seen how important that has been in the past. For example, if Mbappe goes and is top goal scorer, does something like that.
Well, okay. Dan, in your initial question, you asked me about Lewandowski and Lionel Messi.
Yes.
Lionel Messi will not be participating in the European Championship.
Lazy.
Again, I repeat my answer, Lewandowski, runaway winner.
Do you agree, Stephen?
100%.
Stevie, Moyes had a better title defence for United than Klopp at Liverpool. Has Klopp mismanaged his team?
I don't think so. I think when he got all the pieces of the puzzle that he wanted, the way they played was all about attack. And as I said, once he got the final two pieces, particularly in Van Dijk and Alisson, then you can't argue that his defence was as good as anybody's. And their attacking prowess was as good as anybody as well. So I don't know how you can point the finger at Klopp for anything.
Steve, you got a new photo. Where's that? Black and white, over your right shoulder.
Have I?
Yep. That's definitely a new one.
Where?
The black and white one on the top shelf next to the pig.
Ah.
Yes.
Aye. That's my debut for Scotland, Daniel.
Oh, let us see it. Bring it down.
Standing behind Mr. Tell you what, making your debut, right? Packed house.
Look
in
at
front
that.
Of 100 pipers. Hey? 100 pipers playing the pipes and drums. It was fantastic.
Which then leads me to the next question.
Won.
What is that behind the picture?
It's one of my wife's ornaments.
Bring it down. Is it like a porcelain cat?
Oh, what do you mean, bring it down?
I want to see it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's like a lady.
Hey, it's a good one, I know. It's a ladro.
A what?
It's called a ladro, Dan. Not something you would know anything about.
I don't know what that is.
Hey, don't tell her. I'm going to stick this on eBay.
Yeah, like you could do that, Stevie. I wouldn't even start.
Yeah, well, you could do it for me.
What's the significance of it, Stevie? Please break it.
I didn't even know it was there, so how would I know the significance of it?
No, you know it's seriously. You know it's a ladro.
My missus likes ladros. All right, how about that?
Well, it's okay.
That's all I know.
Ali, what's your knowledge of ladros?
I have no idea what that is.
No.
I'm over here because I can't see it, and I'm trying to picture what it is. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I can't help it if I'm a bit of a culture vulture and you two are just ignoramuses, you know what I mean?
Oh, right. OK, Bayern haven't conceded this many goals, Ali, for 31 years in the Bundesliga. Will this hurt their chances of reaching the Champions League final, retaining the title?
Well, they have to defend better. That's obvious. And clearly there are some flaws to this team that perhaps weren't there last season. But when you consider all the other teams around them in Champions League, all those other teams also have their own concerns. Manchester City may be the one team that you look at and you say, you know what, that team right there, that team is clicking. The rest of them, you can make an argument against. And so if I'm making an argument against everybody else, I am still leaning on Bayern Munich because I have seen this team be successful in the past and done it with most of the group that would be on the field potentially in a Champions League knockout stage.
What are your medals for, Ali? I've never asked you that before.
The ones over my right shoulder, yeah, I suppose you're talking about?
Yes.
One of them is against Stevie's own New England Revolution MLS Cup in 2002. The other one, I'm going to have to look. The other one is MLS Cup 2008, but the one in the middle is the most significant one, and that's from Copa America 2011, where we made it all the way to the semifinals with Venezuela.
And any ladro figurines of shepherds or holding lambs?
Well, it doesn't know what a ladro is.
Can somebody please? Exactly. Can somebody explain to me what you guys are talking about? And can somebody spell it to see if I know what is it that you actually are saying? I can't understand what you're saying.
China figurine of Little Bo Peep.
China.
Oh, China. Yeah, no, I don't have one of those.
Why are you saying China, Stevie? It is China, isn't it? What else is it made out of?
Of course it's not China.
What is it?
It's porcelain, you idiot. Porcelain, you fool. You ignoramus.
All right, now we've run out of time here. Stevie, with Liverpool having had so many trouble lately, why doesn't Klopp switch the formation to a 4-2-3-1? Seems like it gets the best out of Thiago and might provide more cover for the wing-backs to go forward.
I'd have to say the fact that he's not changing it means that he thinks if he does, it'll be even worse than it is right now. That's kind of the common sense thing way to look at it. Otherwise, you would change it. The only reason I think he doesn't change it is because if you think they're bad now, what would they be like if he did change it?
How does a player feel, Ali, when he faces his future club? This is in the case of Upamecano, because it's Leipzig against Bayern next month.
Well, I think you could just focus on the task at hand and your responsibilities with the current club. You're not thinking about your future club. The professional thing to do would be to have a great game and to validate what your move is going to be, potentially to Bayern Munich, and that kind of give them a reason, a taste as to why is it that they're getting you. I think what you can control is what's in front of you, and what's in front of you is to have a very good game against your future club.
Here we go. Final question. Sophie's choice for Stephen. You can only pick one to change the course of footballing history. Liverpool beating Arsenal at Anfield in 89, or the Scottish national team to win anything in your lifetime?
Well, the Scottish national team to win anything in my lifetime.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Even if
that
you're
was easy.
Even if
I
you're not involved.
It was hard.
Not even if you're not involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
What about everything you've won?
No. Steady. Steady.
What about a...
That would be a new...
What about a set of priceless porcelain figurines? Right, that is it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, definitely.
Thank you very much for your patience. We'll be back tomorrow for more Manchester United against Manchester City. Of course, one of the big talking points.